KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have a partly cloudy sky and 65 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly sunny, increasingly humid today with a high of 87. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Lindeman Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. A head-on collision Tuesday evening in Mills County left one person dead and three others injured. The accident happened on Highway 34 between Malvern and Hastings at around 5:20 p.m. The Iowa State Patrol says 84-year-old Marilyn Gruber of Shenandoah, who was not wearing her seatbelt, died at the scene. The woman was a passenger in a minivan driven by 91-year-old Richard Gruber of Shenandoah, who was also not wearing his seatbelt. Officials said an eastbound SUV driven by 57-year-old Christine Carpenter of Warrensburg, Missouri, pulled to the right off of Highway 34 and made a U-turn in front of the eastbound van. Richard Gruber and Christine Carpenter were flown by LifeNet helicopter to Creighton Hospital in Omaha. A passenger in the SUV, 56-year-old David Carpenter, also of Warrensburg, was injured and transported to the same hospital by Glenwood Rescue. Traffic on Highway 34 had to be rerouted for several hours, while the crash remained under investigation. An Atlantic woman charged in August in connection with a fraudulent cancer scheme now faces additional charges, and her trial date has been set. According to court documents, 30-year-old Letha Slauson faces charges that include two counts of felony child endangerment causing bodily injury, felony distribution to a person under the age of 18, two felony counts of administering harmful substances, two felony charges of assault while participating in a felony, domestic abuse assault, which is a serious misdemeanor, and 10 serious misdemeanor counts of unlawful possession of a prescription drug. Her trial is set to take place November 12th in Cass County District Court. Slauson's arraignment will be on September 22nd with a pretrial conference October 13th and trial beginning at 9:30 a.m. on November the 12th. According to Cass County Attorney Dan Feisner, from September 21st of 2013 through August 21st of this year, Slauson inserted the feeding tube through the nose and into the stomach of her 5-year-old daughter, Riley. She then allegedly administered through the tube cannabis oil without a prescription for no medical purpose and without any prior training, direction, and or supervision. The drug was distributed to her daughter within 1,000 feet of a school and or other restricted areas. The complaint states that Slauson also injected her daughter with the cancer treatment drug Neupogen without any prior medical training and without a prescription. The drug can cause muscle and joint pain, cramping, stiffness, and bodily injury. The harmful substances charge alleges Slauson administered the drugs to her daughter on numerous occasions. The assault charge alleges that Slauson intentionally administered both the cannabis oil and Neupogen. And the unlawful possession charges are with regard to 10 vials of Neupogen that were found in Slauson's possession during the time the drug was allegedly administered to her daughter. Investigation revealed the 5-year-old Riley had no cancer or other form of terminal illness. Letha Slauson was being held in the Cass County Jail on $35,000 cash bond only. A sheriff's deputy in Guthrie County investigating a suspicious vehicle in the parking lot of a Panora convenience store early Sunday morning ended up in a scuffle with one of the suspects. The sheriff's office says at around 4 a.m. Sunday, Deputy Kent Grease questioned two men outside the Casey's General Store in Panora. During the course of the investigation, Grease became suspicious the men were involved in some sort of criminal activity. He also saw a weapon in their vehicle. The sheriff's department says during an attempted pat-down of Jesse Lynn Crawford of rural Jamaica, Crawford allegedly hit Grease numerous times in the head and upper torso. An intense physical struggle ensued for a lengthy period of time in the Casey's parking lot and into the yard of a business near the store. During the struggle, Grease was able to utilize his taser on Crawford, but Crawford was able to fight through the effects. The deputy deployed his backup taser cartridge, but still was not able to take Crawford into custody. As the struggle continued, the deputy attempted to radio in for emergency assistance, but was unable to reach Guthrie County Dispatch. But he was able to activate the panic button on his portable radio. While still struggling with Crawford, a passing motorist saw the struggle and stopped to assist. With that motorist's assistance, Crawford was taken into custody. Panora EMS crews were called to the scene, and they treated both Crawford and Deputy Grease for their injuries. Grease suffered from physical exhaustion as well as scrapes and bruises. At the time of his arrest, Crawford was found to be in possession of about 44 grams of methamphetamine. Authorities said it was the largest seizure of drugs in recent Guthrie County Sheriff's Office history. Crawford was booked into the Guthrie County Jail on numerous charges, including assault while participating in a felony, interference with official acts with injury to a peace officer, assault with injury to a peace officer, and possession with the intent to deliver greater than 5 grams of methamphetamine. The other suspect at the scene was identified as David Michael Cannon of Grand Junction. He was arrested for possession of a dangerous weapon. Officials say Cannon and Crawford are convicted felons in the state of Iowa, with Crawford having numerous incidents of theft, drug and weapons violations, and assault with use or display of a weapon on his record. Both men appeared before the magistrate. Cannon was released on his own recognizance, while Crawford was being held without bond. In our funeral announcements, Dorothy Forsman, age 98, of Panora and formerly of Guthrie Center, died Friday. Funeral services for Dorothy Forsman will be this morning at 10:30 at the Guthrie Center Church of Christ. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Opal Bishop, age 96, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Opal Bishop will be today at 3 o'clock at the First Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Terry Lee Sorey, age 63, of Woodbine, died Saturday. Funeral services for Terry Lee Sorey will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Fouts Funeral Home in Woodbine. Sandy Raby, age 44, of Primgar, died Saturday. Memorial services for Sandy Raby will be on Friday at 11 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Primgar. Adringa Funeral Home in Sheldon has the arrangements. Richard McCauley, age 81, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cascotti Hospital. Cremation has taken place and services for Richard McCauley will be held at a later date in the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has the arrangements. Rita Hughes Burke, age 71, of Denver, Colorado, and formerly of the Adair-Casey area, died August 23rd. Graveside services for Rita Burke will be Saturday at 11:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Cemetery in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home has the arrangements. Brenda Ludwig Crawford, age 57, of Chelmsford, Massachusetts, and formerly of the Atlantic and Stewart's area, died Saturday. Memorial services for Brenda Ludwig Crawford will be on Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Blake Funeral Home in Chelmsford. And M. Lucille Plummer, age 95, of Anita, died Monday at Caring Acres Nursing and Rehab in Anita. Funeral services for Lucille Plummer will be held Tuesday at 11 a.m. at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.